There we go. Good to see everybody. Happy Diwali. And we just had an amazing program for Diwali today. And we're just recovering from that program. Hold on a second. I have to mute everybody. So we'll have a little special program tonight, too. First, we're going to chant Jai Radha Madhava. All right. I think we've got everything set. Jai Radha Madhava Kunya Bihari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunya Bihari. Gopi Jana Balaba Kiri Bharadhaji. Gopi Jana Balaba Giri Bharadhari. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana. Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Madhova Hare. Jai Radha Kunjabi Hare. Gopi Janamalabha Hare. Gopi Janamalabha Giri Bharadhari. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Bhanachari. Yamuna Tira Bhanachari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunya Bihari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunya Bihari. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Paramahacharya. Also Tera Satishi Shimad, His Divine Grace. Avaya Chananana Bhaktivedanta Goswami. Mara Srila Prabhupada Gijai, ISKCON Founder Acharya. Srila Prabhupada Gijai, Dantakoti Vaishnav Vrind Gijai, Namacharya Srila Hoyadas Thakur Gijai. Param Sei Kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Pararabho Nityananda Shidwaita Gadadha, Srivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrind Gijai, Sri Sri Radhakrishna Gopi Gopinath Shyam Kun Radhakunda, Giri Govardhan Kijai, Vrindavanam Kijai, Maturam Kijai, Jagannatha Swami Kijai, Yamunamai Kijai, Srimati Lassi Devi Kijai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrindi Kijai, Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Gaur. All glories the assembled devotees, all glories the assembled devotees, all glories the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Premananda. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vasaya Bhutale, Srimati Bhakti Padanta Swami Namani Namaste, Saraswati Devi. Gaur Vani Pacharine, Nivashesha Sunyabhadi Pashyatate, Shatari. So, Omagana Timidandasya Gananjana Shilakaya Chakshur Admedikam Yena. Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So I offer my respectful obeisances under the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, who so kindly opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. Srila Prabhupada, Jai, Jai Prabhupada. So today is a special day in the calendar, at least where we are. It is Diwali or Deepavali, depending on how you pronounce it, which literally means a line of lights or a line of candles. So a line of lights or a line of candles is utilized to greet a respectable personality. And so on this particular day, many wonderful things happened. And I'm just going to refer to Shastra. Some other devotees came to me and said other things happened, like Krishna getting tied with Damodar. I'm not sure. I haven't heard any Shastric references about it. Krishna getting tied by Mother Yashoda as a Damodar pastime. So I'm just going to talk about things that I know happened according to Shastra, which is His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada and the Acharyas, and also according to history, because there's some modern historical events that occurred, too, on this particular day. And then we're going to talk for a little while about Lord Ram's victory. Because today is the day that Lord Ram was victorious over Ravan and returned to Ayodhya and was greeted in Ayodhya. And that we talked about this morning in the Bhagavatam class. So in general, Diwali is taken as a day in which good triumphs over evil. And so victory for the good folks and defeat for the bad folks. So there's several things that happen on this particular day. And of course, there's the story of Lord Ram, which we'll talk about in a second. But another story, which is actually one of my favorite stories, because it illustrates that nurture is more important than nature. Now, I'll explain what I mean by that. Nature means what you're born with in this particular context. Let's say you were born in a demon family where they fed you human flesh when you were young. A Rakshasa family. Does that doom you to always being a demon? Family or Malecha's family or something like that. Or if you were born in a family of great devotees, does that doom you to be, I know that's a funny word. Does that condemn you? Does that force you to always be a great devotee for the rest of your life? And the answer, of course, is no. You may have some good samskaras in the past or some bad samskaras. Samskara actually means, in addition to reformatory practices, it means impressions. That's what we generally use that term to indicate. Like we all have so many impressions. Like I remember things that happened when I was a little child. And these are impressions that are there in the subtle body that shape my consciousness even today. Of course, we do know that by the chanting of Krishna's holy names, especially the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. All these impressions in the heart become dissolved and you actually are able to perceive the existence of the real self. So anyway, so samskaras means what happened to you before or what you're doing right now to give yourself an impression on the subtle body. So do these samskaras, the ultimate question is, do these past samskaras or past impressions shape our life so that we are predestined to live either as demons or devotees or halfway in between or businessmen or Brahmins or whatever? And of course, there's many people in India who believe that. They believe that if you're born in a Brahmin family, then you're necessarily a Brahmin. Or if you're born in a Kshatriya family, you're necessarily a Kshatriya, no matter what happens the rest of your life. And that is wrong, because you may be born with good qualities, but then if you have bad association, as Krishna says in the Gita, karanam guna sangasha sadasa jamna jonishu, then you associate with the modes of nature and you can be dragged down by the modes of nature. That's what this verse means, karanam guna sangasha, that our entanglement is due to associating with the modes of nature. So everything's based upon association. So sometimes you see someone born in a horrible family who becomes a great devotee. Give you an example, Prahlad Maharaj, right? And sometimes you see, and of course, another personality comes to mind from the Ramayana is Vibhishan, born in a really bad family. I mean, his father was kind of nice, Vishravas, he was a sage. But his mother, Kekashi, was a Rakshasini, and she seduced his father. And generally the sons take after the mother and the daughters take after the father. So you could see that in practical life. When I talk to people and I talk to their children, I can see the children generally, daughters take after the father and sons take after the mother. So anyway, there's some exceptions to that. So you'll find examples of people who have terrible samskaras, like Prahlad Maharaj and Vibhishan, and they become great devotees of the Lord. And then you'll find an example which I'm going to give right now, someone who has great samskaras, and they become demon. So how does this relate to Diwali? Well, this particular individual was killed on Diwali. Okay, here's the story. And we'll elaborate. It's one of my favorite stories from the Bhagavatam and from the Puranas. That once upon a time, there was an incarnation of the Lord called Lord Boar. Boar means a big wild pig, in case you hadn't figured that out. So Lord Boar had to kill this demon Hiranyaksha, and he also had to lift the earth planet up from the Garbhodak ocean. It had become submerged. Anyway, so he took the form of a boar wild pig, which means tusks. That means big tusks or big teeth that come out. Generally, you see demons with big teeth, but that's not a demon. This is the Lord who appeared as a boar. And so he picked up the earth planet with his tusks. And we know that when the Lord does something, he doesn't have to stick to the ordinary rules and regulations as far as material interactions. For example, when I want to pick something up, I can't really pick something up with my teeth usually, at least an earth planet. Or I can't eat with my hands. I have to eat with the mouth, which, and then it goes into the digestive system. But it's described about Krishna, Angani, Asha, Shekalendri, Adri, Timanti. He can do anything with any of his senses because he has a transcendental body. He can see with his ears. He can touch with his ears. He can do anything he wants. So Krishna impregnated the earth planet by touching the earth planet with his tusks. She's an expansion. Ultimately, she's an expansion of Radharani. She's Shakti Tattva. So anyway, getting back to the point. So the earth planet gave birth to a very nice little boy. And his name was Nataka. And this Nataka, he was a good boy. He actually chanted and did all sorts of nice things when he was young. But then he had bad association and he became such a demon that he kidnapped like 16,100 princesses. Really hellish guy. He kidnapped all these princesses and I guess he was going to try to enjoy them or something like that. And his mother, who was Bhumi, didn't want Krishna, who was the father in another form, Varaha, to kill her son. And she made Krishna promise not to kill the son unless she gave permission. So what happened is that when Krishna went to kill Narakasura, and there's a whole story about that that we don't have time to tell right now. When Krishna went to kill Narakasura, what happened? He took Satyabhama along with him. Satyabhama, of course, is also an expansion of Lakshmi, expansion of Radharani. So things equal to the same thing are equal to each other. So Satyabhama expands as Bhumi ultimately. And Satyabhama said to Krishna, when she and Krishna were being attacked by Boma or Bomasura, kill him. And Krishna said, okay, I'll kill him. And Krishna killed him on this particular day. So it's a evil. And there's so many other stories about people who were demons or who were devotees. And so many. I mean, even, let's talk about a story about devotees, another story about devotees who switched. But this is from the also the day that Ram entered Ayodhya. So what happened is that two of Ram's associates, Mainda and Vidvira, who were gorillas, they were big monkeys, gorillas, they fought for on behalf of Lord Ram against Ravan. And actually, they were very important soldiers in the war against Ravan. And what happened? They got good bad association, I think it was also with Narakasura, and they became demons. Also, they had committed an offense, that's another point, that Mainda and Vidvira had committed an offense against Lakshman. And Lakshman, of course, and Balaram, they're the same person. So later on, Vidvira was actually harassing Lakshman when Lakshman was doing some sort of dance in the Raivataka Mountains. And Balaram actually, Vidvira was killed by Balaram. So he came from good to bad. And then their story is from bad to good. So, you know, so we're talking about the victory of good over evil. So this victory of good over evil is not necessarily just, you know, one of these drag-on fights that we normally talk about, like the Battle of Kurukshetra. But the victory of good over evil is the internal battle. And that battle is fought by keeping good associations. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu remarked when he was asked about the quality of a devotee, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, a satsanga tyag, a Vaishnava char, that one of the most important qualities of a devotee is to keep good association. Simply because of the same principle which you mentioned before when we were quoting from the Bhagavad Gita. That is, that by association, Parinam Gunasangasha Sadasa Janma Jodishu, that we become entangled. So by association, we also become liberated. Lord Rishabhadev states that Huravi Mukte he says, by associating with the sadhus, then you get liberated. Huravi Mukte Tamo Dwaram Yoshitam Sangi Sangam. And by bad association, you actually get entangled in this material world. So it's very important for us, satsanga tyage vaishnavachar, to avoid bad association. And on the other hand, you know, sadhu sanga, sarva sastrakoi, lava mantra sadhu sanga, sarva siddhi hoy, to take good association. Also another verse in the Bhagavatam says, vardunyat po and ashevya, that one can get purified by bathing in the Ganges, by repeated bathing in the Ganges, but more purifying than repeated bathing in the Ganges is association with great devotees, with sadhus. So, very important lesson. So, in addition, let's see what else happened on today, on today's date. Oh yeah, the Pandavas came back from exile. Plus 1 year, and 1 year was in. And then the last day, they were almost seen by Duryodhana, but Arjuna, of course, was in disguise, and they waited until the sun set. And they returned out of exile. And that's shortly after that, that's when the Battle of Kurukshetra was fought. So that happened on this day. And also, Vishnu, this is an interesting story, that Lakshmi was captured, according to the Puranas, Lakshmi one time was captured by Bali Maharaj, who was the grandson of Prahlad Maharaj, and Vishnu had to rescue her. And then also it's the appearance day of Lakshmi. And we all are interested in Lakshmi in this world. That's why many people right now are staying home and doing Lakshmi Puja. I know that today is a day that people are very reluctant to give donations to the temple. Because there's this superstition that if you give or let money out today, it will go out the rest of the year. Well, I got news for you. That when you give to Krishna, you get it back unlimitedly. It's like people are very interested in investing in a high interest rate bank account. I know some people are looking, of course, nowadays the interest rate is very low. So people are interested in investing in a high rate bank account. So what is a higher rate than unlimited percentage wise? You give to Krishna, you get back unlimitedly. So it's a good day to actually give to Krishna. So people are very afraid of letting any money out. But the funny thing is, if you keep everything to yourself, if you think you're going to possess Lakshmi, this is another story from the Ramayana, which I think is very important on this particular day. Because Ravana's problem was that he wanted to have Lakshmi. Sita Devi. Sita Devi and Lakshmi are non-different. Ravana wanted to have Lakshmi. But he didn't want Ram to go along with Lakshmi. He just wanted Lakshmi without Ram, or Sita without Ram. So the interesting thing about the Ramayana, the lesson I find quite interesting in addition to many other lessons about the Ramayana, is that we know that Ravana did not actually get Sita Devi. Ravana got Maya Sita, who is Durga. Durga is not Lakshmi. If you want to know who Durga is, just analyze her name and see what her name means. Durga. So, for those of you who don't know Sanskrit, Dura means difficulty or bad. But in her case, it means difficulty. Ga means to go or to move. I think you understand that. Like Duryodhana was like a dirty fighter. Durvas had bad temper. Durvasamuni. Everybody has a name that's really wonderful and indicative of their personality. So Durga means to move with great difficulty. It doesn't mean she moves with a great difficulty. It means you move with great difficulty when you're under her jurisdiction. Because Durga is the, as Prabhupada said, the warden of the prison house of this material world. And she carries very difficult weapons to overcome. Nowadays in America, people are very interested in weapons, guns, and things like that. But Durga has a trident. She rides on the back of a tigress, and she has a trident, Trishura. And this trident, of course, has three points. That's what Trishura means. And these three points of the trident are adhyatmic, adibodhic, and adidaivic miseries. And if you don't know what that means miseries from your own body and mind, miseries from other living entities. We're not only talking about human beings, we are talking also about viruses. You know, you're also worried about the coronavirus, but that's other living entities. And then miseries from the material energy in general, too hot, too cold, you know, earthquakes, tornadoes, rain, sleet, snow, whatever like that. Natural disasters, of course, in Kali Yuga, natural disasters were more prominent. So Durga is actually riding on this tigress and inflicting us with all these difficulties, and we are being made to work like asses in this world. That's a fact. Just to maintain ourselves, we have to work like donkeys. Now, for those of you who don't know what an ass is, that means a duck, like a type of donkey. And that's it. And then he goes home, anyway, to his family, and they kick him in the face. Anyways, it's Prabhupada's example, not mine. So anyway, so when you have Lakshmi, you're so, you know, Lakshmi Puja. Also, it's a day for Saraswati Puja. Saraswati is expansion of Lakshmi, and she's the goddess of learning. So when you have Lakshmi, or think you have Lakshmi without Vishnu, you have Durga. So if you are not worshiping, if you're just doing Lakshmi Puja, and you are not worshiping Vishnu at the same time, because there's Lakshmi, Vishnu, Radha, Krishna. Whenever you worship the Lord, you have to worship the Lord with his energy. You don't worship the energy without the Lord, and you don't worship the Lord without the energy. They both go together. Krishna is never separate. So you have Lakshmi Narayan, you have Sita Ram, every single couple, incarnation, expansion of Krishna, there's always a consort there. Maybe not manifest to our eyes, but there's always a consort there in relationship to Krishna. So basically, you can't have one without the other. So the best Lakshmi puja you can do is to worship Lakshmi Narayan and satisfy. Because what makes Lakshmi happy? Does anyone know? No. What makes Lakshmi happy is if Narayan is satisfied. And what makes Narayan happy is if Lakshmi is satisfied. Try to understand that. If someone loves someone else, what makes them happy is if the other person is satisfied. So with Radha and Krishna, it's the same thing. If we worship Radha and Krishna, what makes Radharani happy is if Krishna is satisfied. What makes Krishna happy is if Radharani is satisfied. Because they love. They're inseparable couple. Lakshmi and Narayan. So anyway, so Ravan, getting back to the story, the Ramayana. So Ravan thought he was kidnapping Sita Devi. But the actual story, as told in the Puranas, is that there was a Maya Sita, and a reflection of Sita. The real Sita was kept by Agni, the god of fire. And that's why when Ram rescued Maya Sita had to go into the fire and the real Sita had to come out because Ravan could not come near Sita. And if he had even had touched Sita, he would have burnt into ashes. He couldn't even touch. But even if, let's say, theoretically, he could touch Sita, he would have been burnt into ashes immediately. Ram wouldn't have had to come and kill him. Wouldn't have been necessary. Because someone like Ravan cannot touch Lakshmi. So we cannot have Lakshmi without Ram, without being Krishna conscious or Ram conscious. Without being spiritual. It's impossible. Because even if you have it, it becomes, let's say you have money, gold or something like that, then it just becomes a burden. It doesn't make you happy. You want to be happy. And see to run. Okay. So I told you I had a little surprise for everybody tonight. So I wanted to show that I just came across that some of you may not have seen before. Just give you some nectar on this day of Diwali. Hold on a second. Most people are not online tonight. So this is where the first picture you see is where Hanuman was patiently waiting for Ram while Ram is in exile. And this is a temple called Hanuman Garhi. Hanuman was waiting for Ram to appear. I'm ecstatic to see these things because I'm a real Ram Bhakta. And Janakapur in Nepal, where Sita Devi appeared, in the same area, there's a Janaki temple. Actually, we'll make this bigger for all of you, so you can see. The beautiful Janaki temple, a temple to Sita Devi. Of course, Sita Devi is known as Janaki because her father's name was Janaka. And this is where she appeared. Hold on a second. Whoops. Oh, maybe we can get some more pictures from the Ramayana here. And here's the picture where Ram, Sita, and whoop. When Ram, Sita, and Lakshman went into exile, this is a picture of Panchavati, which is near Nashik, and Tapovan, which is a nearby spot, is where Lakshman encountered Surpanaka. And I think everybody here must know who Surpanaka is. But Ram is so merciful. Actually, I can tell stories at the same time. The Ram is so merciful that even after Surpanaka got a nose job, an ear job from Lakshman, and encouraged Ravan, it's her who encouraged Ravan to kidnap Sita Devi, even after that, he actually accepted her as his consort during his next appearance on the Earth planet. Now, when was that? Very interesting. That was when Krishna entered Mathura. Krishna entered Mathura, and one of the first people he encountered there, among other things like a washerman who he killed, was Surpanaka. But Surpanaka was in the form of Kubja. Remember Kubja? Kubja, the lady who had a back problem, hunchback. And she offered all the sandalwood pulp that was meant for Kamsa to Krishna and Balaram. And then Krishna straightened her up, and then Kubja started pulling on Krishna's dhoti in a very lusty way. Krishna didn't agree at that particular point. But then after he had killed Kamsa, he actually fulfilled her desires. So that's another reason why we call Ram Patita Pavana Sita Ram. Ram, Jai Ram, Jai Jai Ram. And here's the next one. This is when Sita was abducted by Ravan, not the real Sita, of course. Jatayu tried to save Sita Devi. And he had a fight with Ravan. Actually, he destroyed Ravan's chariot. And he destroyed the donkeys with human heads that were pulling Ravana's chariot. And so there was nothing left. There was no chariot left. And finally, Ravan cut off Jatayu's wings, and Jatayu fell to the ground and told Ram and Lakshman which direction they should go in and who should they see to ultimately find Sita Devi. So at this particular place, it's called Le Pakshi in Andhra Pradesh, is the place where Jatayu fell to the ground. And there's actually a temple to Jatayu there. Very beautiful temple to Jatayu, Le Pakshi. Here's a really interesting footprint. And it's supposed to be the footprint of Hanuman, I don't know, but it's pretty big. It's certainly not that lady's footprint that you see in the picture. So, of course, Ram, accompanied by Hanuman, met Jatayu. Ram helped him attain moksha by uttering the words Lipakshi, which in Telugu means rise bird, like go up to heaven. That's why it's called Lipakshi. There's also a large footprint in that area, which is said to be Hanuman's, or that's a human footprint. So, in other words, people often think of Hanuman as a monkey, but he's a Kim Purusha. Kim Purusha means, are you a human being? In other words, he was like a human being, maybe a little hairier than an ordinary human being, but a big, big, colossal person. And he also had a tail, obviously, that's there in the Ramayana. So wasn't exactly a monkey, but it was a Kim Purusha, which has some similarities between a monkey and a human being. All right. You see more pictures. I love these pictures. They remind me of Ram. And of course, this is called Ram Setu, which is the bridge that was between Lanka and India. And the very interesting thing is that this, of course, is a satellite picture. And the scientists have analyzed this and gone down to water level, ground level, and they've seen that this particular bridge, it's land bridge. And actually, a lot of it's underwater right now. This particular bridge is man-made. They analyzed it and saw that it's not a natural phenomenon. Natural phenomenon means something that was formed without the interference of any human beings. And so that's, these are both satellite pictures you see here. So that's Ramesharam. And then the army marched across the ocean to get to Ravan. So in Lanka, this is in Lanka, Ravan was very devoted to Lord Shiva, and Lord Shiva gave him great power. So this is actually Ravan. It was dedicated to the one who prayed and not to the one prayed to. It's called the Koneshwaram Temple in Sri Lanka. And of course, Sri Lanka was Ravan's kingdom. Sri Lanka. It's actually quite a beautiful temple. Temple to Ravan who prayed. And Ravan was also known as Dasagriva. So anyway, in this particular text, they're wrong. Dasagriva actually had 10 heads. It's not that he conquered 10 kingdoms. He had 10 heads. And of course, we see on top Lord Shiva and Parvati, or Durga, who blessed him with inconceivable power. So 10 heads means 20 arms. And so each time one of those heads was cut off by Sri Ram, another head grew back in its place. These are also Kanya, hot wells near the temple that was also built by Ravana, and these still exist. So many of you have never been to Lanka, which is sometimes called Ceylon, and seen these wonderful places. These are places of pilgrimage, actually. So when Ravana brought Sita to Lanka, he first took her to this place called Sita Kotua, which is now a tourist spot in Sri Lanka. Wow. Because later she went to the Ashok Grove. From here he took her to the beautiful forest, which in Valmiki's text was called Ashok Ratika. There's an actual Ashok Vanamin in Sri Lanka. So this marks the spot where Sita was kept. And when Hanuman reached this place, he is said to come in the form of a giant. There are giant imprints on one side of the lake, which are said to be Hanuman's footprints. Wow. They were formed when he landed near where Sita Devi was. Of course, after some time, he didn't actually keep the giant form. Hanuman had the ability to make himself very small or make himself very big, depending upon what was needed. So to enter Lanka, he made himself very, very tiny. Of course, Lankini, the guard of Lanka, tried to stop him, and he just like slapped her in the mouth, and she admitted that was the end of it, and he was able to come at it. And she was actually a goddess who was cursed to become the guardian of Lanka. So Hanuman set Lanka on fire. Well, there's this whole beautiful story of how Hanuman was supposedly captured by Meghanad, and because he used the Brahma weapon to capture Hanuman, and then he brought him before Ravan, and at that time they had him tied with ordinary rope, so Hanuman could have escaped at any time. And for a while, Ravan wanted to have Hanuman executed. Of course, that would have not been successful, but Bibhishan, the brother of Ravana, who was a great devotee of Ram, interceded and said, "You cannot kill an emissary." He was simply defending himself when he destroyed half the city. No, he destroyed the groves, the different groves, and ate all the fruit in the groves. He was simply defending himself, so therefore, you should let him go. And Ravan decided, instead of just letting him go, to set his tail on fire and then let him go. So he set Hanuman's tail on fire, and Hanuman sets fire to most of the city of Lanka, and set fire to certain parts of Ravana's palace, actually a lot of the city too, in the Valmiki Ramayana. It was a lot of the city, and also where the weapons were kept. So the ground around a certain area there is somewhat black, which is nothing like the surrounding area. This is the landing strip for the Pushpaka Vimana. So this was actually, see all the rocks are melted and everything like that. So there was horrendous fire there at one particular point. And then after Ram rescued Sita from Lanka, he made her go through the test of Agni, which I mentioned before. And that place where Sita went through the test by Agni, then guess what happened? This is called, is Divurumpola in Sri Lanka. And said there's the tree in the exact spot, and even today, local disputes are settled through debates and discussions under that tree. Wow. Be nice to go there one day. Okay, and those are some of the pictures I wanted to show you. Let's go back and stop sharing the screen. So tomorrow is Govardhan Puja. Anyway, just a few. Did I want to tell more stories? Yeah. A few more stories about Ram. So let's see what stories am I going to tell. As far as Ram's victory is concerned, I already talked about most of the details about Ram's victory. Ram entering Ayodhya. Let's see, Ram going back to Ayodhya. After Ram won, he took the Pushpaka Vimana to go back to Ayodhya because he wanted to go back before his brother Bart committed suicide. So one important thing we can learn from the Ramayana, in addition to many other things, is the love between Bart and Ram and Lakshman and Shatrughna. They were all basically inseparable and obedient all to Ram. So Bart, in order to not be accused of taking or usurping the kingdom or disobeying Ram or considering himself to be in a superior position to Ram, actually just worshipped Ram's shoes during the period when Ram was in exile. And he took a vow that if Ram did not come back on time, he would kill himself. So what happened is that Ram actually was a little late, but he sent Hanuman in front. And so on the way back, Ram actually stopped in several different places. That's why he was a little late. He stopped to say hello to the sages. And then he stopped to see Guha, his great friend. And then finally he returned to Lanka. So on this day of Ram's entering Ayodhya and the victory of goodness, or the good over the bad, we should take heart from this and take good association and conquer the bad qualities in our own heart, because these are the things that are impeding us and keeping us from actually understanding Lakshmi, or the goddess of fortune. The real Lakshmi, the internal potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the way we do that is by following the process of bhakti, chanting the holy names of the Lord, and serving Srila Prabhupada's mission. So, anyway, we'll keep it short tonight. It's not that short. So let's see if anybody has any questions on this day of Diwali. Hold on a second. Let me let you unmute yourselves. And tomorrow is Govardhan Puja. I just want to announce that. Tomorrow we're going to go and do a tour of Govardhan on screen, on Zoom, tomorrow evening, so you can all follow with us as we go around Govardhan. And right now, I should be at Govardhan. But because of this coronavirus, I am not at Govardhan, because every year, traditionally, I am at Govardhan, doing the Govardhan Puja, doing the Govardhan circumambulation, and particularly participating in one temple that we have, or ISKCON has there, called the Banabihari Temple, right next to Kushma Sarovara, where we yearly have our festival of Govardhan Puja. And this is the first year, maybe 20 years, that I'm not going to be there. And next year, we invite you all to come with us. Okay, so who has questions? Govardhan Puja is tomorrow. Anybody have any questions or comments or problems? No.
Gurudev?
Yes.
Srila Prabhupada mentioned once when he was asked, do all the living entities from this material world also exist in the spiritual world? And Prabhupada had responded that yes, and many more. So are there donkeys with human heads in the spiritual world? And could that possibly be my spiritual identity?
I think you'll have to go there to see that. You'll really have to. Actually, there's donkeys. There must be donkeys because, I don't know, donkeys with human heads, because you have that whole story of Dainikasura, so there must have been some donkeys around. Of course, that's in the material world, but still, they identified what donkeys were, so there must be donkeys there. But they're nice donkeys. As far as whether they have human heads, I don't know. It's described in the Valmiki Ramayana that the Rakshasas and the Rakshasinis were hideous in look and visage and how they looked. It's described in the Valmiki Ramayana that some of them had heads coming out of their rear ends, and some of them had heads coming out of their stomach. So I don't think that those sorts of entities exist in the spiritual world.
Thank you.
Okay, so you'll have to go there and see. Okay, who else? Sumukh, you have a question. Sumukh.
Sorry, Gurudev. Hare Krishna. Please ask my humble obeisances. Okay. I have a question, Gurudev. We know that in the Bhagavatam, when the four Kumaras, when they go to the spiritual world, and then they kiss Jay Vijay directly on the face, that, you know, you are not qualified, go to the material world, become demons. So they knew that they will become demons. But in the case of Parikshit Maharaj, when Sringi Rishi Parikshit Maharaj. Well, Parikshit Maharaj was not even there. And he cursed that in 7 days, Takshaka snake will kill Parikshit Maharaj. So then the father, Samyak Rishin, went and told Parikshit Maharaj that, my son has cursed you, then you'll be dying 7 days by the bite of Takshatakna. So that's okay for Parikshit Maharaj. But I don't understand, how did Takshak came to know that he has to go and bite Parikshit Maharaj in 7 days?
I guess they called him on the mobile phone or something like that. I didn't know. Anyway, Takshaka, let me tell you the whole story in the Mahabharata that'll fill in some of the details you may not be aware of. When the Pandavas were sent to Indraprasht was a desert, and there was a forest right next to the desert. And that forest is called the Kandava Forest, Kandava Prasht. So that forest had a lot of snakes in it. In fact, that's where Takshaka lived, in that forest. However, there was one demigod named Agni who wanted to burn down the forest. And the reason he wanted to burn down the forest is because Agni had indigestion. Why did he have indigestion? Because he wasn't a vegan. Because he was taking ghee continually for 12 years. There was someone, I think it was Marut, who was offering ghee, an emperor or a king, Marut, who was offering ghee continuously into the fire for like 12 years. And so Agni had stomach ache. So the only way to cure that stomach ache is to take some herbs, herbal medicine. And so the herbal medicine that he needed to take was basically the whole Kandava forest. And so he wanted to burn it down. However, Takshaka lived in the Kandava forest, and Takshaka had his friend. His friend was named Indra, if you remember correctly. So Indra was not letting Agni devour the Kandava forest, because every time Agni, that's fire, wanted to devour the Kandava forest, Indra sent down all this rain. So then Krishna and Arjuna got together at the behest of Agni, because Agni asked them for their help, and they prevented Indra from putting the fire out in the Kandava forest. So what happened is when the fire was burning, all the living entities were scorched who were there. Takshaka wasn't. He was away. But his whole family got killed. This is an actual story in the Mahabharata, believe it or not. His whole family got killed. And when they all got killed, Takshaka was angry at the Pandavas. And so in order to get even with the Pandavas, he was planning and planning and planning, and finally he got Maharaj Parikshit. So he was, basically that was his absorption to somehow or other kill one of the descendants of the Pandavas. How he got informed was another issue, and that's not mentioned in the Mahabharata. I mean, I could speculate, but I'm not going to speculate. But he was intent on hurting the Pandavas and their descendants. And so he got even. And it's also interesting. Oh, yeah, let's add another story about Takshaka. Takshaka was on his way. Takshaka's father is Kashyapa. Kashyap. I know you don't like the A with your Hindi, but it's actually Sanskrit. It's Kashyapa, not Kashyap. You all don't. The interesting thing is that most of the times Hindi speakers don't pronounce Sanskrit properly. That it's interesting how Westerners sometimes can pronounce Sanskrit better than native Hindi speakers. So what happened is Kashyap was there to protect Maharaj Parikshit. He was on the path that that Takshaka was going to take to my dear son Takshaka. And Takshaka said, I'm going to bite Maharaj Parikshit and kill him. And I have a lot of poison. So Kashyap said to him, I have a remedy for the poison. And Takshaka didn't believe and said, you can't have a remedy for the poison. My poison is so bad that it'll burn anything to ashes. Let's see. So Takshaka bit a tree, and the tree immediately was turned into ashes. Completely turned into ashes. And then Kashyapa, he did some magic potion or mantras or something, and the tree immediately came up again. So Takshaka got worried, I'm not going to be able to kill Maharaj Parikshit. So what happened is that Takshaka gave, it's described in the Mahabharata, he gave him a bribe. Somehow or other he gave him something that convinced him not to interfere with the killing of Maharaj Parikshit. So somehow or other Takshaka had this idea getting even with the Pandavas and their descendants. And somehow or other he found out about that. Okay, who else has a question?
I have a second question, Gurudev.
Yeah.
Okay. We know in the Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita, we read that that in from the Golok Vrindavan Dham, some devotees come down. Like Champakalata came down to the material world, he became Narottam Das Thakur. So they came directly to then become devotees. But in our case, in my case, in our other devotees' case, how can we know that what we are in the spiritual world when we come down?
You came down too. You came why, down from...
Yeah, the question is, how come they come directly and we come, you know, in the process in a long way?
Yeah, you are kicked out. You were kicked out of this. Came to serve Krishna. How do you know who you are? Mm-hmm. Well, right now you have amnesia. You know what amnesia is?
Yes. You forget.
Sort of like, I wouldn't say disease, but a condition in which one forgets who they are. And sometimes you see this in very old people who have Alzheimer's disease or some other problem, and they forget actually everything. And then the family has to come and remind them. So we have forgotten who we are, and it's simply a question of remembering. And the process of remembering is to chant the holy names. By chanting the holy names, Sheto Dharpana Marjanam, Bhavam Had Vagni Nirvapanam, and then the blazing fire of material existence becomes eradicated. And the mirror in the heart, Cheto Dharpana Marjanam, becomes cleansed so you can actually see who you are. So it's a process. It's a process of waking up. How do you remember who you are in the morning? You wake up. Right? You don't remember. Sometimes you're dreaming at night. You may dream at night that you're a prince or the prime minister of Fiji. So you may dream at night, but then you wake up and you find out you're just like a servant of the Fiji Electric Company. So, anyway, it's like that. It's like waking up, that's all. It's not an artificial imposition in the mind, Prabhupada said. It's a question of waking up. If you have enough stimuli, enough things that remind you of who you are, then you actually wake up. And then it's hard to go back after that, after you wake up. It's really hard to go back. That's why it says that once one comes to Krishna consciousness, their material life becomes spoiled. Because even if they try to be materialistic after that, they are always reminded of their real identity, or at least that they're servants of Krishna. And it's not, they can't really be serious materialists anymore. So we actually ruin the material life of so many people. We're responsible for that. Ruining your material life. You can try. I mean, devotees like slip, fall down, do things like that. But they can't forget who they are. They can't forget that they're servants of Krishna. But first, you have... It's not that you can artificially remember who you are. It's not that you go to your spiritual master and you ask him, who am I? And he tells you. It's that you have to awaken to that fact. And that means, first of all, you have to be stable and steady in your sadhana. That's called nishta. You have to have a ruchi, a taste. You have to be a shakti, completely detached from things of this material world and attached to the lotus feet of Krishna. So there's several prerequisites before you can actually understand who you are in the spiritual world. And if you try to understand prematurely, you're just going to be projecting your conceptions, that means what you experience in this world, and think it's like that in the spiritual world. Just like in the spiritual world, you may hear about Radha and Krishna kissing, embracing, and then you think, oh, it's just like some Bollywood star embraces a Bollywood actress or something like that, or you and your wife, you know. That's called sahajism, where you actually project whatever you experience in this world and think it's like that between Radha and Krishna, or like that between the coward boys and Krishna, or like that between Yashodamai and Krishna, or any relationship with Krishna. It's not like that. It's a completely different category, completely different understanding. So first deserve, then desire, Prabhupada would say. deserve. That means by pleasing Krishna, and then you'll get what you desire. But if you desire before you deserve, then you get cheated. You'll cheat yourself. Okay? All right. I think we're going to end early today because we had a long day. We sat through an ecstatic play of the Lalita Madhava, but it was over 3 hours. And a final version of, an edited version of the play is going to be posted in the next, I guess, 2 or 3 days. We put it on our Facebook, but the sound quality wasn't so good when we did it live. But the final version will actually be there in 2 or 3 days with a good sound quality. And it was a very exciting play, but we spent 3 or 4 hours between preparing it and looking at it and enjoying and seeing our guest today in Diwali. So we're going to end a little early today. Not that much early. And tomorrow we're going to talk about Govardhan Puja, the worship of Govardhan Hill and the circumambulation of Govardhan Hill. So happy Diwali, everyone. I wish I was at Govardhan. I really wish I was there. But unfortunately, this year, it is not possible. Okay. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai.